is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
We are live at The Pint, 109th and Jasper. Come on down. You can also email us at nationradio@theteam1260.com. Coming up in the next half hour or so, Jason McKee from Spruce Grove Saints, winners of the AJHL Championship last night. Welcome now, Jim Byers, Oklahoma City Barons play-by-play man. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's an exciting day here. The team's getting ready in a short while to board a bus to Austin, Texas, to play the Texas Stars, the Barons' next-to-last game of the year, and a point, standing point of any sort here over the next couple of games for the Barons puts them in the playoffs.
How far is Austin from Oklahoma City?
Well, actually, we are in Austin. Oak City is actually the closest team geographically to the Barons, about 375 miles. Now, we played last night and beat San Antonio 7-2, and the team had a good post-game meal last night in the San Antonio Hotel, spent the night here in San Antonio. It's about a 90-minute drive up the interstate to Austin from here, so the team elected to spend the night here in San Antonio and stay in the hotel we've been in for about 3 days. And so that's the bus ride I'm referring to, a little jaunt up the turnpike to Austin where there's a game coming up tonight.
Are those the closest rivals, Jim?
Yeah, the three Texas teams are all within a reasonable bus ride of 8 hours or less. The Texas Stars are really only about 5.5 or 6 hours away by bus. No direct flights, though, between Austin and Oklahoma City. The cities, while state capitals, aren't quite big enough. Houston and San Antonio are both, give or take, a few miles, about 500 miles away. And with the modern buses we have, that's pretty easy transportation. So we're a bit isolated, but these are teams down here that we tend to play more and that are fairly close to us.
With the 1 point to the playoffs, it's becoming more important to pay attention to things like the clear day roster. Among Oilers currently, Jeff Petrie, Timo Hartikainen, Linus Omark, Ryan O'Mara, and Chris Van de Velde are eligible. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct. And we could be getting some of those guys back, not tonight, obviously, but it just remains to be seen once the Oilers season is over. But all of those players you mentioned would be eligible for potential postseason play, assuming the Barons get a win or just at least a standing point tonight or tomorrow.
Got an email here, a question for you, Jim, from Speeds, asking for your opinion as to when if Petrie does get sent down on defense, who might opt out of the lineup, or who might be the healthy scratch among the current top six?
Well, that's a good question. There's going to be some hard decisions that are going to have to be made if, in fact, some of these guys do come down. And lately, Kevin Montgomery, whom the Oilers got from Colorado in the trade deadline deal that sent Sean Bell out of the organization, had kind of been the sort of the odd man out a little bit lately. But Montgomery's played very well of late, had a goal to prove to be the game winner last week in a shutout at home, and has been playing really well on defense, paired last night with Brian Helmer. But I would think that Montgomery might be it, but it's really hard to say. You know, it's hard right now to sit Plante and Tubert. They've been playing very well. Helmer is, you know, the veteran presence back there, and has been a top player in this league for 18 years or so. And so really everyone's been playing pretty well. But, you know, they'd have to find room for him if they send him down. So it's going to be a long, hard decision. But I would say that Montgomery would probably be the guy. But that's strictly speculation on my part.
Is there any, and I don't know the answer to this question, might be a stupid question, but is there any ratio, veteran to non-veteran ratio, that they have to worry about, or they can play anybody on that clear day roster?
The veteran rule holds, as far as I know, all the way through the playoffs, which means you're allowed five players to suit up for a game that have played 320 or more pro games as of the start of the season. And when I say pro, I mean ECHL, the old IHL, American League, National League, and certain European League. Five guys who have played 320 games or more. And then you're allowed one player to dress per game who's played between 260 and 320 games. That's called your exempt veteran. So you can have six vets. Five can have played 1,000 games if necessary. And one has to be between that 260 to 320 mark. And those are obviously games as of the start of the season. So you don't all of a sudden turn into a vet during the year. But of the 18 skaters that you dress for a game, you have to have 12 of them that are under those limits, and you could have five that are the super vets and one that's the exempt vet. And there was a situation earlier this year where we actually had too many vets, and that was part of the reason that prompted the Sean Bell trade. Was he was something of an extra vet for a while after Zach Stortini was sent down. But there are no vets on that clear day roster, so they can all come in and just start to playing. It's just going to create some tough decisions in some cases, because this team is playing very well. The Barons have won three in a row. They had a crucial back-to-back set of shutout wins at home last week that put their playoff fate in their own destiny. And, you know, as we've been talking about, there's only one playoff spot now remaining in the Western Conference, and there's four teams going for it. And Oklahoma City can freeze out the other three with a standing point tonight or tomorrow. And there's a potential still for some ties, but the Barons own the tiebreakers over all of the other clubs that are contesting for that last playoff spot.
Jim, is that dizzying AHL veteran rule put in there so that it forces them to play prospects? Is that the reason for it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and they much prefer that it be called a player development rule rather than a veteran rule. It forces the young players churned in through the league, and it makes clubs make a decision if they want to keep an older guy, who, regardless of who it might be. And this doesn't apply to goaltenders, only to skaters, only forwards and defensemen. But, you know, it does force a churn through the league and prevents a team. You know, in the old IHL, there was no vet rule back when it was the level below the NHL. And Todd Nelson was saying the other day he was on a team with 14 vets on it, I think was the number one time. So it kind of prevents teams from stacking the deck and guarantees that there'll be a prospect influx as the AHL prides itself on being a development league.
The Barons have relied heavily on that top line. Last night, an example, Colin McDonald with four goals. But it seems as though kids like Kitnar and Tanner House now are coming along.
Yeah, he's been a huge find, House. And Hunter Tremblay, who just won a CIS National Championship for the University of New Brunswick, played his first game as a pro last night, and he was quite effective. House had a goal and an assist last night, as you mentioned. Milan Kitner, who played in the Western League after growing up in Slovakia, has played very well down the stretch. He has a six-game point streak working. And he was a guy that was sort of a fourth-line center earlier in the year. And as big as that big line has been, and it was remarkable last night, Alexander Giroux and Brad Moran assisted on all four of Colin McDonald's goals last night, which is a little rare. But as big as that big line has been, when this team has performed well this year, it's had depth. And early in the year, it had depth with Ryan O'Mara between Omark and Reddix, and then of course that line has spent much of the year in Edmonton, but now these kid lines with Kitner, and he was paired with a young guy, Philippe Cornet, earlier in the year, and they've performed well down the stretch, and now Tanner House has performed really well fresh out of the University of Maine. So, you know, it's the depth that has really helped this team put itself in position to make the playoffs, and then there's still some work to do. They don't really give away standing points in Texas or Houston, where the Barons will be tomorrow, but, you know, it certainly is a little more reassuring to know if you win or at least get a standing point, you're in.
Cornet is a guy who a little disappointing. He is not on the clear day roster, but he's played well recently, and if there is an injury, he can go back on the roster, right?
Yes. You never have to skate below 18 skaters. So the clear day roster includes the 22 players. So if you have call-ups and injuries or suspensions that would put you at under 18 skaters for a game, you can add players. And with so many players called up lately, we've been able to dress pretty much whoever we've wanted to, replacing the guys that are in Edmonton. So, yeah, that's the way it works. If there's call-ups or injuries that cause you to be, if you lose three guys off your clear day roster to various reasons, you can add one. And if from each succeeding guy you might lose to a call-up or a suspension or an injury, you can add another. So you never have to play shorthanded.
DeLaurier's playing very well in goal lately, but Gerber is either back or ready to come back, correct?
Yes, Gerber dressed him as the backup last night. He was injured March 16th in a collision on a breakaway in Grand Rapids, and it was kind of a neck sprain, but he's practiced and is ready to go. I would assume we'd see DeLaurier again tonight. No use messing with a guy that's won three in a row and allowed just two goals in three games. But, yes, Gerber is back. We're currently still carrying three goaltenders. Brian Pitton is still here, and we'll see how long they hang on to him, just in case there was any sort of a setback. The Barons have been carrying three goaltenders, but Gerber has been given the green light to go again when ready.
Do you think Gerber will get the starts as the playoffs begin, or is it looking too far ahead?
Well, that's a little bit far ahead. You know, I was just kind of wondering if the Barons do clinch tonight, would they maybe get Gerber a game tomorrow in Houston? You know, the thing about the playoffs is the Barons aren't locked in to that eighth spot, so they could finish, you know, they seed the playoffs in an interesting way. It could be a little confusing to explain, but they could finish in their division anywhere from third to fifth. They won't get home ice advantage, but it'll radically affect what the matchups might be based on how the other games in the league go this weekend, and if the Barons can win out and some other teams lose, they could end up third, and we might end up just staying down here in Texas and playing the Houston Aeros. So it's a little far off. I think they might want to wait and see, make sure they get in, and then make sure who they're going to play before they start worrying about those matchups. You know, right now, I'm totally speculating, I would think they'd want to, you know, not really upset the apple cart since Delorier's been playing pretty well.
And you may not know this, and maybe you do, because you obviously are very learned about the American Hockey League, but the last time a lone affiliate of the Edmonton Oilers made the Calder Cup playoffs was the Toronto Roadrunners in 2004. Were you aware of that?
You know, I can't say that I was. I was involved in a different strata of hockey in that era, but no, that's an interesting note. I mean, obviously the Oilers' affiliations have meandered around over the years, and in fact didn't even have a regular affiliate for a while. But no, that's an interesting little tidbit.
It's a little misleading, too, because they were part of a championship team in Hamilton when they shared with Montreal. So there have been some good players come through, but I thought that was a little interesting bit of trivia. Speaking of which, you call horse races as well, correct?
Yeah, I used to. I spent 15 years in that position. It was essentially my first job out of school. I worked at Hollywood Park and then for 4 years in California, and then moved to the racetrack in Oklahoma City, which the DeBartolo family built in the late 80s. So I had a good run in that sport, but eventually I kind of yearned to get into more traditional, you might say, play-by-play. So if the opportunity ever acquitted itself, I might take a swing at racing again, but I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing right now.
Jim, you know what? We're going to have to put you on payroll. You're here every week, and you do such a great job. Thank you so much for your information, because it's very valuable.
Well, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Jim Byers, Oklahoma City Barons play-by-play man, and I don't know if there's somebody who knows more about the American Hockey League. Can you believe that rule? I had no idea. I've been watching hockey forever, and I didn't realize that the AHL development rule was that specific about how many games you have to have played before the year starts. Before you can, you know, be a part of the roster, and you can only have a certain number of them, and that obviously is for development purposes. And I know the NHL has done that in the past. The old Central Professional Hockey League had a rule very much like that, but I didn't realize it was an American Hockey League rule as well. It's 1:40 coming up before the top of the hour. Jason McKee, Spruce Grove Saints coach, will talk about the Saints, congratulate them, and look to the future.